Welcome to episode 1030 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The downfall of end time Babylon brings contrasting outcomes. For those entangled in this corrupt religious system, its destruction signifies devastating consequences. However, for God's faithful followers, it marks a long-awaited liberation. Babylon, having instigated persecution and harm against them through its influence on secular powers, is finally held accountable. Its demise represents deliverance and ultimate vindication for those who remained steadfast in their faith. This event answers the heartfelt plea of God's people depicted in the fifth seal, where they cry out, "How long, O Lord?" This cry echoes the lament of the oppressed and suffering throughout history, from Abel onwards, yearning for justice and vindication. Revelation assures believers that evil, oppression, and suffering will not endure forever. With Babylon's destruction, the stage is set for Christ to establish his eternal kingdom. The remaining chapters of Revelation unveil not only the demise of Babylon, but also the ultimate defeat of Satan and the eradication of all evil. They offer glimpses of the glorious new creation, where God's faithful followers will finally experience everlasting peace and joy. Revelation 19 depicts a joyous celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb. This event symbolizes the long-awaited union between Christ and his redeemed people, echoing Jesus' own words in John 14, verses 1 to 3, where he promises to prepare a place for his followers in his Father's house. The wedding supper imagery beautifully illustrates this reunion, highlighting the intimacy and joy of this eternal fellowship. This scene expands upon the wedding parable in Matthew 22, where Jesus describes a king hosting a wedding feast. The marriage represents Christ receiving his kingdom, with the New Jerusalem as his bride. The guests at the supper represent God's faithful people. Crucially, this parable emphasizes the importance of being clothed in the wedding garment, representing the spotless character purified by Christ's sacrifice. Revelation 19, verse 8, highlights that the fine linen worn by the guests is a gift from Christ. This symbolizes that their righteousness is not their own accomplishment, but derives from their connection with him. The righteous acts of the saints, spoken of in Revelation 14, 12, are a result of Christ living in them and empowering them to obey God's commandments. While salvation is not earned through works, the righteous acts we perform reflect the transformative power of Christ in our lives. These acts are not a means of earning salvation, but rather a natural outflow of our relationship with him, demonstrating our love and obedience. In Revelation 19:11-16, the rider on the white horse is unmistakably Jesus, depicted as the triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name, Faithful and True, reflects his trustworthiness and justice in judgment, and his eyes, like flames of fire, symbolize his penetrating insight into the hearts of humanity. The sharp sword coming from his mouth represents the power of his word, both creative and decisive. In Scripture, God's word is depicted as a two-edged sword, signifying its ability to judge, separate truth from error, and reveal the true nature of every individual. This imagery tells us that Jesus does not need physical weapons. His victory comes through the authority of his spoken word and his righteousness. To be on the winning side in the end means aligning ourselves with this word, embracing Christ's truth, and allowing it to transform our hearts. By grounding our lives in his word and faithfully following his guidance, we become part of the army that triumphs with him over evil. The millennium, a period of 1,000 years following Christ's second coming, marks a significant shift in earth's history. As described in Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3, Satan and his fallen angels are bound, not with physical chains, but by circumstance. The earth, ravaged by the final plagues and devoid of human inhabitants, mirrors its state before creation, becoming a desolate prison for Satan. Confined to this wasteland, with no one to tempt or deceive, Satan and his demonic forces are left to contemplate the consequences of their rebellion against God. During this time, Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6 reveals the redeemed reside in the heavenly dwelling Christ prepared for them. They reign as kings and priests, engaging in a judgment that examines the fairness of God's actions throughout history. This echoes Jesus' promise to his disciples and Paul's assertion that the saints will judge the world. This judgment addresses the doubts and accusations Satan has leveled against God's character and his dealings with humanity. The redeemed have access to the historical record, enabling them to investigate every question concerning God's decisions regarding the lost and his guidance in their own lives. By the end of the millennium, all questions about God's justice are definitively answered, and the redeemed recognize the baselessness of Satan's accusations. This prospect offers profound comfort to those wrestling with unanswered questions and challenges to their faith. It reveals a God who is not only just but also willing to provide complete transparency and understanding. The promise of future clarity underscores his love and respect for his creation, assuring us that even our most difficult questions will one day be addressed, solidifying our trust in his perfect wisdom and goodness. After sin is eradicated, the earth will undergo a radical transformation, becoming a pristine paradise for the redeemed. Revelation 21 verse 1 describes this as a new heaven and a new earth. The new heaven refers to the earth's atmosphere, cleansed and renewed, as the current polluted state cannot endure God's presence. The Greek word kainos, translated as new, signifies a qualitative change, not a complete replacement. This implies that the earth itself will be purified and restored to its original perfection. Revelation 21 verses 2 to 8 and chapter 7 verses 15 to 17 paint a picture reminiscent of the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2. God's presence dwells among his people in the New Jerusalem, described as the tabernacle of God. This divine presence ensures a life free from suffering and death, echoing the original paradise. There will be no more death, sorrow, crying, or pain, as these are all consequences of sin, which has been eradicated. This resonates with Mary and Martha's words to Jesus upon Lazarus' death, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They recognize that death cannot exist in Christ's presence. Similarly, God's abiding presence in the new earth guarantees freedom from all suffering. This is the ultimate hope offered through Christ, a promise secured by his sacrifice. John's vision in Revelation now turns to the New Jerusalem, the capital of the renewed earth. Though a real place inhabited by real people, its splendor and the life it offers surpass any earthly comparison. Revelation 21 describes the city's exterior features. Referred to as the bride, the Lamb's wife, the New Jerusalem represents the dwelling place Christ has prepared for his followers. A high wall with 12 gates, three on each side, encircles the city, symbolizing its universal accessibility and the unlimited access all have to God's presence. The city's perfect cube shape, measuring 12,000 stadia in length, width, and height, results in a total of 144,000 stadia. This number echoes the 144,000 who are transformed at Jesus' second coming. Furthermore, the cube shape, reminiscent of the most holy place in the Old Testament temple, signifies the New Jerusalem as the ultimate center of divine worship. Moving to the interior, Revelation 21 reveals features reminiscent of the Garden of Eden. Most prominent is the river of the water of life flowing from God's throne. Unlike the rivers of Babylon, where God's people once lamented in exile, this river represents a place of homecoming and eternal belonging. On either side of the river stands the tree of life, offering leaves for the healing of the nations. This healing signifies not physical cures, but the restoration of all divisions and wounds caused by historical conflicts and barriers. The redeemed from all ages and nations are united as one family in God's presence. The promise of no more curse in the city signifies the complete eradication of sin and its consequences. This contrasts sharply with the curse that followed humanity's initial disobedience in Eden. The New Jerusalem represents a return to a state of perfect harmony with God, free from the pain, suffering, and separation that have plagued humanity throughout history. The book of Revelation concludes with what was introduced at the beginning, the second coming of Christ in power and glory, and the establishment of God's everlasting kingdom. The return of Christ, when he finally will be united with his bride, is the climactic point in the book. However, the book does not put these events in an unrealistic context. That Jesus is coming soon is the first reality. The second reality is that we are still here waiting for his return. While waiting, we must have a clear comprehension of the messages of Revelation, and we can get this understanding by reading the book again and again until the end of all things comes. The messages of the book of Revelation constantly remind us, while we wait, not to look to the things of the world, but to fix our eyes on heaven and on him who is our only hope. The Christ of Revelation is the answer to all human hopes and longings amid the enigmas and uncertainties of life. He holds the future of this world and our future in his hands. Father, thank you for the incredible promises of hope, justice, and restoration in the book of Revelation. Help us to stay faithful, trusting in your love and power to carry us through life's trials. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our ultimate hope, as we await the joy of eternal life in your presence. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.